All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to a quick hit episode of River City 93. It's me, Elliot. It's Kate. It's Matt. You're probably hearing a generator in the background. That's because we're recording this right after the game, right after a 2-2 Richmond Kickers versus NCFC game. Guys, why is the team so much Jekyll and Hyde? They're up and down. They're twists and turns, the beauty and the beast and everything.
Why should this game be any different than the first 21? I mean, it's the same thing we've seen over and over and over again. You know, this time, you know, it ended with a goal on the right side instead of us giving up one at the tail end. But
yeah,
the game, if you've seen a lot of other games, kind of looks pretty similar.
Yeah.
I will say, it seemed to break the paradigm a little bit of a good half and a bad half, because we actually scored, and both halves ended in a draw. So I wouldn't say one was noticeably worse than the other, which breaks the pattern a little bit, because sometimes we'll either come out terribly and then improve significantly in the second half. This one is pretty up and down for both halves. So again, points for consistency a little bit.
There you go.
I mean, the fact that we're framing it as one was not noticeably worse than the other rather than one was not noticeably better might tell a little bit of a story, but you know, 1 point, not what we really need, but it'll help a little bit along the way.
We're consistently inconsistent right now. I mean, put a cherry on it. That was a little nice thing about Emmy, 10 goals on the season, got a nice header. Kay, you were making it out of Emmy's about what, 5'4", 5'5"? That's being generous. Nice headers. Nice header, got his 10th goal on the season, where he looked like we didn't even think he was going to get 10 on the year the way he started out.
I think that's the difference between a natural goal scorer and someone who's just playing up front.
Yeah.
Is regardless of, you know, the skills that God gave you, the qualities that God gave you, you're going to find a way to score goals, put that ball in the net. And I will say it, in the last time I was on the pod, I wasn't talking too well about our set pieces. And I will say, one, direct off the set piece, loved to see that. I think that it was impressive, especially the height that they had in their back line. It was impressive for Emmy to get his head on that first, get it in the back of the net. But I will say, on the second off a set piece, but it came out of the box and was a shot back in, which I think has worked consistently better than trying to get it in off the first ball.
Yeah, and Emmy's feasted on North Carolina over the years, especially with headers, oddly enough.
Which is wild. Last
year, you know, in the 3-2 comeback, which, I'm not going to lie, had a couple visions of happening, you know, here once it went 2-2. And you can see Emmy had the ball. He was trying to get the guys back. He's saying, hey, let's do them again like we did last year.
Yeah
basically. But, yeah, you know, I think that's probably, on the top of my head, 3 or 4 headed goals that he's had against North Carolina over the years.
Yeah,
he might be a little guy, you know, but, you know, there's one thing we've seen over the 3.5, almost 4 years now, is he knows how to put himself in the absolute right spot.
Yeah.
And whether that's in the right spot at midfield to, you know, draw a foul, or what, in the right spot in the box to get a, you know, a head on a ball that he has no business getting his head to.
Mm-hmm. You know, or at the midfield to hit a long ball past the keeper 10 yards out of his box.
Right.
He can do it all.
Exactly. Or, I mean, we also know if Emmy's soccer career is over in the next 3-4 years, he could definitely get a job in wrestling.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He could definitely get a
job. Plays clean football. What can I say?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, click takes clean back bumps, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we gave up a goal that in the first half that kind of make you think, is Akira getting past it a little bit? A little old? Akira last year makes that save, I feel like. This year, it seemed like a stretch.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is that it didn't stretch.
No, it didn't.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, lack thereof. I mean, I don't see how you give up that kind of header in the box. But you're almost near the 18-yard box, headed into the ground. Because it was the same ball that came on the opposite side of the net that he cleared out. So why not the same thing again?
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's almost the same exact goal that McLaughlin scored against us the first time we played him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Two minutes a little bit further out. And, like, how are you going to give that guy, you know, space to get a clean header? Like, at least, you know, knock him off balance a little bit. We know this ref's not going to, you know, call it.
Right. Yeah. I think also, I mean, again, next five, after scoring a goal, that next 5 minutes of not taking your foot off the gas and not allowing, on essentially the next passage of play, to concede a pretty simple goal. That was,
three,
four passes, crossed in. Like, it's a simple enough play, and so that next five of staying focused and, you know.
I'm not going to lie to you. As soon as we scored, I was in my head like, all right, they got 5 minutes. If they can make it past this five, I feel good. and it was game of a goal.
The script was written.
Right. Second half, I mean, we didn't see any noticeable change for Richmond. Ref was, but.
Well, I think going into halftime, we all would have bet money that that game was not ending with 22 on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of, how shall we call it?
It had Montgomery, Alabama vibes to it a little bit.
I was just going to say heightened spirits on the field right there, and, you know, especially in Louis Perez. I mean, I think if the ref really wanted to, he probably could have sent him off for a second yellow in the first half, especially that whole scrum, you know, there's a big scrum, probably like 42nd minute or so, where it started with him and Hornsby, and then, yeah, you know, Dak and Awney come in, McLaughlin comes in on the North Carolina side of things, just all kinds of pushing, you know, shoving. That's when the, you know, the great fall of Emmy happened.
That's what we're going to call this episode, The Great Fall. second half happens. We gave up a goal on a set piece. Did you guys really get a good look at it? It just seemed as if it was like we redirect the ball back into the box. And
yeah. I was able to see that highlight back. Corner, we semi-clear it. They cycle it right back to the taker, whips it in, and, you know, glancing header, you know, sends it in the far post.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elliot, like you were saying in the stands, hard to necessarily blame anyone, you know, for that, but it's these frustrating sort of things that keep happening over.
And if you don't give up the early goal, like if you don't give up the first half goal on an easy goal, then that those sort of things don't matter. You know, you can, you know, you have the insurance, or, you know, you're already up a goal. But when you give away easy goals, then all of a sudden, you know, a good goal that you can't blame anybody for all of a sudden takes on a bunch of weight that you could have.
Yeah. It feels like I was saying, like, it just feels as if this team right now is, they're struggling for, like, good moments. And when those good moments come, they can't really celebrate it because they got to worry, like, all right, we got to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also wonder, I was thinking about this at the end, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, they turn the intensity up, you know, last 10, 15, well, 15 when you count 6 minutes of extra time.
Yeah.
They turned up the intensity, and all of a sudden we were looking a lot better. Was our final play was not the cleanest. There were still a lot of wasted opportunities, but I wonder if this team does work better when they have less time to think.
I think they work better with speed on the field.
Yeah, and like right now it feels like the slowing it down, it just gives some of those players who might be a little bit more error prone more time to overthink what their next play is. If they don't have the time to think about that, they can rely on their instincts, and their instincts are probably going to be pretty good. So when they turn it up to 11, they're just going and going and going, the squad accomplishes more.
And I've been hard on Darren Subs, especially lately. You know, I think those first two that he made today, he got it dead on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Zaka was not controlling the midfield.
But wasn't that? I mean, Chandler came in, and maybe his best performance in a league game so far.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think, look, I listened back to the show that y'all did on Saturday. I think Chandler had a good job in that game as well. Like, he had two chances. It was for Chandler, you know, it was good.
Yeah, but
this is definitely his best performance. He looked like he was controlling.
And it looked like he had something to prove. Like, you know, when you have players who are looking to, like, earn the right to be on the field, it's nice to see them step up and actually, you know, put in the grit to, like, prove that they should be out there.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the real changer, and Ellie alluded to this a little bit, you know, Owen Gordon, you know, emerges, you know, back from the, you know, exile of a two-forward formation. He comes in and, I think, completely changed the attack. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to, get a vertical presence, you know, coming up the
they're
right
more
wing.
More direct.
They couldn't cope with him. Yeah. Like, he was beating them on every ball down the
right.
lane.
And not only that, you know, him and Simon were connecting a lot better than Bentley and Simon were.
A lot of one-touch passes. They weren't playing slow. They weren't. Yeah. They were playing a lot of one-touch back and forth, passes along the line.
You know, it's a change of option that's available. You know, I think Bentley and Sierkowski, they're kind of the same guy, you know, for
more
the most
or less,
part.
Yeah.
You know, so having, you know, Gordon out there, you know, it mixes it up a little bit, so that way.
And Gordon has decent service in the box, and I think we were talking about this, that Simon still has room to improve on his aerial service into the box. When he's able to get the ball on the ground, he's usually able to play a clean ball into a dangerous position.
I think all three of his passes came from on the ground. All three of his assists this year.
Yeah. He's really good when he keeps the ball on the ground, but when he's forced to put the ball in the air, it's a little less precise, and I think Gordon was a better option to be putting those balls into the box from the air, just because, you know, he has a little bit more precision.
I think Fish and Ani definitely they need to go back to crossing school.
You're ready to commit a murder in the stadium.
I know. I was. Well, Ani did that second cross because it was the same play they did on the opposite side, where, like, Neil would get the ball, pass it to Ani, and Ani would try to whipped the ball into the box. The first one, I was like, all right, that ain't your game.
Right.
Let's not do that again.
Right.
Then the second one, it's like Ani.
And it's also on Neil a little bit. Don't make that same play. Like, I guess maybe Ani's, like, confident. He's calling for it. But it's on also on Neil a little bit to turn, look back to the center of the pitch. Like, don't, recycle the same
or
play that works so
Ani,
well.
You're a freaking tank. Drive that ball into the box.
We see what happens with Ani trying to, you know, dribble sometimes.
Yeah.
I
think that's also a question. When you have a player like him with such strong aerial service from a throw-in, what do you do with him once the ball – like, what is the strategy? Because right now, him following up a throw with a cross is not successful. So there needs to be a slightly different plan. If the Ani long throw is coming in, the outlet at the top of the box needs to be there. We need to not – look at Ani on the wing because, you know, he's given it his best shot. I think he has many skills crossing.
It's like Shaq shooting threes.
Right, so
not a pretty sight.
Work out a different plan.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And be from the Ani long throw that isn't Ani putting the ball back in the box.
Speaking of following up at the top of the box, though,
yeah,
you know, I was noticing, I was complaining, you know, to both of you during, you know, the game, like, you know, why is everybody in the box, like, it keeps getting cleared out and nobody's there. Nobody, you know, is able to pick it up in North Carolina. We keep taking the ball and just running at it. This happened in other games too. I mean, we've seen what, 4 or 5 times this year where, you know, teams just take us off of a corner and just, you know,
man
rush us.
It almost happened twice in this game with Oleg. Now, granted, I talked bad about Akira earlier. He went back to finish Akira on that with the 2 double saves.
Yeah,
that was finish Akira.
His positioning is still very good.
Yeah,
especially in a one-on-one situation.
Yeah, but yeah, 90+5. Long ass Ani throw. Surprise, surprise. Ball pops out towards the top of the box. But Michael Hornsby's there and just laces it with his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finds the corner and there's happiness in City Stadium, at least for a moment.
You go from cussing this team out and let's prepare for a negative podcast to, we got a point.
Yeah. Pile in the stands.
Right. Pile in the stands. Yeah. I think Paige looked at me and was like, I got crushed, but I loved it.
It's been a while since a good section of
the ball. Yeah, exactly. It's nice to see them actually put, like, make that effort knowing, you know, when you, if you earn that. Sometimes I think at this level, you can see it a lot. Like, the play that they know they can make or the play that they're envisioning is at a higher level than the skills they have in their locker. And sometimes you can see a player take that shot, like the shot from outside the box. You can see they already have their name up in lights. They can imagine their celebration before they've put their laces through the ball and it goes, you know, 40 yards above the goal. So I think in that case, it was really nice to see them locked and loaded, knowing if they scored that they were going to get this, like, euphoric section O goal, that they weren't, that goal, that it stayed on frame. It's like he kept his head. He wasn't already imagining the celebration, the draw, like the point. Because sometimes the moment can overwhelm them before they even.
Yeah. Fellas, if you're listening to it, take the leap of faith. Our people will catch you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, we're fine. I think we caught like 3 people.
Yeah, we caught them all.
I caught Hornsby, me and Jow, pumped heads.
But it was a little more timid, like, you know, heyday stuff. Like, it would be like full on Lambo leap
there.
You see, they were running over there. Like, okay, I guess I'll jump.
I know,
they
almost went to the other corner. There was like a second where it was like a little pivot, like, wait, which corner? And then it was like, go. And we were
go.
This is only the second time it's happened.
I think Hornsby at that point was like, F, I'm going.
He pulled up a phone.
Oh, Luke would have gone shirtless. Let Luke score that goal. Luke's going shirtless.
I'm still mad at Luke for not pulling off a celebration. I don't care if he was in Greenville when he scored.
All right.
Pull it out of your locker.
So, put a nice bow on it. 2-2. We still outside the playoff lines. We still, oddly enough, have not lost back-to-back games. Haven't won back-to-back either. But this team has normally followed up a draw with a win.
Or the other one.
Or the other one. Hopefully it's a win.
Positive manifestation.
Positive vibes.
I mean, has to be a win. At Chattanooga, 10 games left in the year.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not 3 points, you can pretty much seal it.
Can you imagine a year? I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but can you imagine a year in which we sweep Chattanooga, Buckets sweep by Ford Madison?
Why would you say something like that?
I'm just saying, I would have never guessed that, but there's a possibility when that happened, and it scares me.
First of all, I think we determined last week when you weren't here that we don't use those words on this podcast.
Oh, that's right. That team up north.
That's
yeah.
We're going Jim Harbaugh with it. I mean, Bo Schembechler, that team up north. I love it.
Them.
That's them.
Six jersey merchants.
Yeah. Right. All right. So, real
Why
quick.
Sell tickets if you can sell jerseys?
What is your, in order for Richmond to come out of this game on Saturday with a win, what do you think Richmond needs to do?
Intensity. That last 15 minutes were the best 15 minutes they played, and there is no excuse as to why that intensity only comes out when you're down a goal with your backs against the wall. If you play like that from the first, the whistle, you won't find yourself 2-1 down at home against your regional rival.
I don't think we have it in us to play for 90 like that, so I would say more consistency. So if we get up, you know, a goal, lock it down for 20 minutes. You know, don't, you know, give away a dumbass goal in Chattanooga, because there's a track record of giving up dumbass goals in Chattanooga over the years. And, you know, find a way. Like, if it means we're bunkering in, fine. I don't care. Style points don't matter anymore.
Yeah, no. Get the job done.
3 points matter.
I think the main thing for me is be vertical. Like, we've seen this team go very horizontal, side to side, and it slows down. When this team got vertical, it changed the complexity. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone, based on today's performance, that you would sit for Chattanooga or start?
I didn't think Zaka played as well as he usually did, and when he came off, that's when our intensity picked up a bit. So he's one that, I mean, it could have been, you know, this match, it could have been he was being, you know, whatever it was, I wasn't necessarily looking too closely, but he was losing the ball a lot in the midfield. He wasn't necessarily the brick wall that he typically is, and I think if we're looking to play on the front foot and make sure we're not giving away stupid plays, if he's still if he's still losing the ball, I would keep him on the pitch.
If we're doing 4-3-3 again, which, I mean, I have no idea game to game what Darren's going to pick at this point, but if it's 4-3-3 again, I'd be interested in going back to that Neil Zhao Suko combo that we saw once or twice.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either. I mean, it seemed like from this game, I can't tell based on anything, but it seemed like in this game specifically, it seemed like Zaka was the pressing trigger. Whenever Zaka got the ball, it seemed like there were four guys around him, and they would just press and hound him. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like that. So maybe bring in someone else and spread the ball. Me personally, I would like to see Neil a little bit more central and higher up the field, because when that happens, you saw in the first 30 minutes, things happen. You know, when Neil drops back further on the wings and kind of slows things up. Also, I mean, if Gordon can only give you 40 minutes, let him play the first and go. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather defend a lead than chase a deficit.
I mean, assuming what we saw, we haven't seen Belmar in, 6 weeks. Bentley's just getting back in. Gordon's just getting back in. Let those boys go. Have Chandler ready to go. Have Zaka ready to go. Yeah.
Right, especially if you're going to start up the front foot, then keep Zaka in the bench as an option to lock it down once you actually, you know, get those two or three goals in the first half. I know it's a lot of goals, but, like, if you play with hard intensity, when you push yourselves, get those goals. We have goals in our locker, which just haven't been.
Yeah, but also, it's a situation where if we get to 70 or 75 and it's tied, just sell out for the win. Like, a draw is going to do us nothing in Chattanooga.
Yeah,
no. It has to be 3 points. So I'd rather go for it, get burned and lose than, you know, pack it in and take a draw.
Yeah.
It would be sweet to get the sweep over Chattanooga. I'm not going to lie.
I would also say, from a season perspective, I'd much rather see offensive-minded play at home, because look, if playoffs end up not becoming an option, entertaining matches at City Stadium are going to matter more than meaningless points on the road. So
just no more Ani crosses.
No more Ani crosses. But if you can get back to winning at home, you can keep selling out crowds. You can keep bringing people back in. That's going to set this team up for success next season. You know, if there's a few key players that need to be brought in, making sure that the crowd stays engaged and not dropping silly points at home that just make people deflated.
I'm not going to lie. Even with it being a Wednesday night and this team haven't won a game in, a month?
Yeah.
Still a decent enough crowd.
Yeah.
I think, almost 3
fans? The crowd was getting into it. The crowd was vocalizing. Yeah. You know, there was chants coming from other parts of the stadium. Like, there was engagement because the team believed that a positive result, or the crowd believed that the team could get a positive result. That's more important, especially in juxtaposition to the last match where it looked like the subs, you know, it was like, okay, let's play the kids. We don't want to play the kids at home. Play the kids away when, you know, you're not riding on ticket sales to keep your team afloat. Play to win at home and give the kids experience when you're on the road.
Kids might have more friends around. They can sell all those tickets.
Maybe so. Sell it that way.
But they'll come if they're on the bench anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that with being said, guys, I mean, it's going to be a short pod anyway because we got a game on Saturday. So with that being said, for myself, Kate, Matt, we will holler at you guys Sunday-ish.
Next time.
See ya. Bye.